It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. What's up, baseball fans? It's the Who's On First Base. I don't know, baseball podcast, all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. And remember, we got to thank Coach's Corner for being our sponsor. Coach's Corner has five shows. Start out Wednesday nights, of course, with the Rubbin' and Grubbin' show with the Atlanta man, Brandon Bain, talking all things NASCAR. He probably had a lot to talk about from last weekend because I think they were fighting. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Then we go into the Carl DeMasi Sports Report every Saturday morning from 9 to about 10:15, 10:30, just talking local sports, local kids, local happenings, picking winners, college winners with the columnist, Stephen Elwin Weeks. And then the third show was just during the Masters, okay, back in April at Augusta, the Herb brothers, Short and Brent Herb, four straight days of doing the Masters. Great show. Check it out on YouTube. You can watch every day. Hey, I made a special appearance. And then we have two podcasts, of course, the Hot Crits podcast. They just produced their 85th show, Spencer Maddox and Travis Dunn, talking all things sports. They get into Savannah State, the Braves, the Falcons, and it's a little adultish, so, you know, keep that in mind. Then yours truly, the coach and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And this is our baseball podcast for September 22nd, 2021. Fanatic, how's it going?
It's going good, Coach. It's rainy night here in Savannah. We are getting down to it the last 2 weeks of the season. There are some really hot races here, and we are going to try to figure out who is going to take these divisional crowns, who's going to be playing in October, and maybe I'll get to stump you a little bit in trivia. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I got two wins in a row in trivia. This is our 20th show, believe it, 20 shows this year.
Yeah, there we
so
go.
We're on a roll. Of course, in baseball trivia, at the end of the show, we do a baseball trivia game. Two innings, that means we each ask each other two questions. If it's tiebreaker, we go to third. The Fanatic is 11-6-3. That's right. I've won six times this year. Two in a row. I got the white flag in front of my house with the big cubby W on it. Ah! I love it. So –
I'm but happy anyway, to hear it, Coach. Hey, you've earned it, and man, you have stepped up your trivia game. You were stumping me left and right.
Well, you know, I had to dig deep to you know, stump you. So anyway, what's tonight's show about? Four innings. First inning, we're talking around the horn. We're talking Major League Baseball standings. Round two, inning two, we'll go to the wild card scene, and that's a crazy one. Ooh. Then, of course, inning three, Braves focus, and then we'll end out in inning four with baseball trivia. All right, Fanatic, inning number one. Let's go around the horn. I'm going to ask you if it's a lock or it's still not locked. That means I'm going to ask you if the first place team in each division is locked to make the playoffs or it's still wide open. They haven't locked it yet, so it's still unlocked to get that division trophy. And we'll start out with the American League East. I know I'm sweating it out because my other team, I know, you know, you're a Cubby fan, true and blue, but I root for the Yankees and the Braves. Tampa Bay, 6.5 up. Is it a lock or is it the trophy still unlocked?
It is an absolute lock, Coach. Right now they have a 6-game lead, barring something ridiculous. There's no way Boston or Toronto or the Yankees can catch them. That is an insane race right now. You're looking at three teams that are still chasing Tampa Bay, probably not going to get there. I still say it's a lock. The Tampa Bay Rays played a day game earlier today. They've already clinched a playoff spot. They will be dancing in October. It goes down like this. Boston, six games back. Toronto, 6.5. The Yankees are 8 back. So the only team I think that could give them any trouble is, honestly, right now, I think is the red-hot Toronto Blue Jays right now, and they'll be playing in October as of right now in the playoff game. But, yeah, if you're asking me right now, all the teams are staying hot, but Tampa Bay has got this wrapped up. They're going to take care of it by the end of the weekend or at least the start of the week.
All right, quickly, Boston Red Sox in yellow shirts and baby blue ball caps. What is this? Where did that come from?
Well, I'll tell you this, as my girlfriend does not care for the City Connect jerseys. And I know they've been doing it for several different ones. You see the Boston area code 617 jerseys. My girlfriend absolutely hates the Cubs ones. You know, they're all wearing the royal blues. I think they'd look better if they at least wear the top and wear the proper team pants. But, hey, that's what they're going to do. They're doing that on Fridays. But, yeah, I honestly, the Boston ones are goofy to me.
Oh, they're goofy. They're goofy. All right, let's go to the AL Central. Are the Chicago White Sox a lock, or is that trophy still unlocked?
Magic number is 2. There is no race left. What they need to do is rest their starters and start planning for October. There is no way that Cleveland could even get close in that division. That's the end of the story. That's the easiest lock we'll have tonight.
All right. Go out west. We got the Astros with an 8-game lead over the Oakland A's and Seattle Mariners. So are they a lock, or is it still unlocked?
Nah, it's a lock. It's an absolute lock. Even though Oakland and Seattle are playing really well right now, they have a virtual tie for second place with 8 games behind the Houston Astros at 90 and 61 right now. They're going to clinch a playoff spot in the next couple of days. Yeah, the best thing those two teams can do is focus on trying to, you know, figure out how to get that second wild card spot, because they sure ain't getting the first one. Houston's got the lock.
All right, let's stay on the left coast. I mean the West Coast. Okay, the Giants still have one game lead on the Dodgers. Forget about San Diego. They just want to fight each other. So, Giants, are they a lock, or it's still unlocked? And I know what you're going to tell me.
Wide open. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? This is the easiest unlock right for tonight right now. San Francisco, 98-53 right now. 7-3 in their last 10. The Dodgers are even hotter. They're still 9-1. San Diego is still in the wild card hunt, but they're a mess right now. Epic proportions right now. And they've really taken their foot off the gas. There's no way they're going to catch these two. Two teams that have already clinched playoff spots, and it's going to go down. I really think it's going to go down to September 30th as to who is going to take the crown in the West. Wide open.
And how'd you like Tatis and Machado? They were clinched in a fight the other day.
Little bit of chirping. I mean, the team's playing terribly. Those two guys are very close, you know, on and off the field. Tempers just boiled over. It was funny to watch as a nonpartisan fan here, but man, they really lost it. And everything's been going down the tank for them. They are just slowly by the day backing themselves out of a place in October.
All right. So let's go to your beloved Central Division of the National East. The elder division. Okay. Milwaukee, 9.5 games up. Locked or still unlocked?
Sorry, didn't mean to jump the gun there. They have clinched a playoff spot. St. Louis, they've won 10 in a row, but they are not going to find a way to win out the rest of the season. Milwaukee's got this locked up. 1-2-3 pitching staff they've got, and just flat out good, solid hitting baseball team. They got this division. It's locked up.
All right, so let's go to the NL East. That's what we're all waiting for. In this neck of the woods, 10 games. The match number is 10 for the Braves. There's 13 games left. They're up 3 games. So are the Braves a lock, or that trophy is still unlocked?
I want to say a lock so bad right now. I really do. Philadelphia is 3 games out. The Mets are 7 out. I'm not even worried about the Metropolitans there. But the only reason I'm going to say this is not a lock 100% right now is because they will face off at the end of the season. There is a 3-game series at Truist to end the season. If the Braves take care of business this week, then absolutely they're a lock. But I can't give you 100% right now. I say it's still slightly open. That door is slightly cracked, but the Braves are the class of that division. I know that's the passe answer, but I'm sorry. They're going to face off in the last series of the year. I can't give you 100%.
So, all right. So we're looking at the, all right, AL East. We got a lock in the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. I had to say that before we got off the air.
All right. I'm going to bring my Devil Rays pennant out one day and put it on the camera.
In the Central, we got the Brewers. That's a lock. In the West, we got the Astros. That's a lock. In the Central, NL Central, we got the Brewers a lock. okay? AL Central, sorry, we got the White Sox a lock. The only unlocked trophies are in the NL East and in the NL West. So we'll see what happens with 13 games to go.
Yeah, tune in next week.
All right, so you're listening to the Who's on First Baseball podcast. It's presented by Coach's Corner. Remember, gazillion TVs. I think there are 60 TVs now. Brand new 65-inch screens. Get out there. They'll play any game you want, any college football game, any pro football game. They'll have any baseball game you want. Go out there and tell John Henson and the crew that you will listen to the Who's on First Baseball podcast, and they'll help you out and choose your game. Don't forget, we'll tell you who's in the Soundgarden at the end of the show, because it's all food, all fun. Since when?
1991, I believe.
All right, inning number two. And there's a lot of scenarios. The wild card race, okay? Let's talk about, first we'll start with the AL, the junior division. We already said Tampa Bay, Houston, and Chicago are locks. Well, we got Boston, the Yankees, Toronto, Oakland, Seattle, playing for that last, those two wild card spots, okay? So, Boston has a two-game lead for the first spot. The Yankees and the Blue Jays are tied. Blue Jays are red hot. The Yankees have won six out of the last 10 also, and they're getting players back. So this should be a good one out there in the junior circuit, the American League.
Okay, so as of right now, whoever is getting that second wild card spot has to go to Fenway and be able to do battle. So you're looking at the Yankees and you're looking at Toronto. So you got to look at those crazy lineups. As of earlier today, we're looking at Boston and Toronto if it were to finish today. But you think about that crazy matchup they have, you know, right there. Imagine, you know, you look at Chris Sale's coming back for the Red Sox. If he faces the Yankees, he's going against Gerrit Cole. If he faces Toronto, he's going against Robbie Ray or even Hyun-Jin Ryu. It would not surprise me to piggyback them a little bit. Meanwhile, nipping at their heels, three games back, virtual tie. You got Oakland and Seattle. These next games are key. Strength of schedule is going to determine who gets that second spot. I still think Boston's got that number one spot locked up.
All right, here you go, though. We could have a three-team tie. We could have a two-team tie. And then we could have a two-team tie for the second wild card spot. This is insane.
It is. That's what I love about it. The play-in game, the one-game play-in is the deadliest game in all of Major League Baseball. And as a true fan, I love it. I love it. I've experienced it as a fan, you know, my beloved Cubbies, you know, in 2015. There is nothing more exciting than a one-game do-or-die game, and I love it. And there's a lot of teams in the major leagues, you know, that are in these wild card races. First off, let me read off a couple of stats right now for the three teams we just mentioned. Boston, they're six games back. I don't think there's any way they're catching Tampa Bay. They've got that game and a half lead. They got over that swoon. They got over the COVID issues that they had. They're still fighting. They got power. Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, J.D. Martinez. They're getting contributions from pickups at the deadline, like Kyle Schwarber. You're looking at Hunter Renfroe and Bobby Dalbec, who's had an unbelievable season. Of course, Chris Sale is coming back. They got to worry about some of their bullpen concerns, and they're a poor defensive team. I still think they could win a one-game playoff, but I don't know about in the series. Now, I'll tell you this. Secondly, let's go to the Yankees. Half game back at Toronto, a virtual tie as of right now. They were expected to run away. All the prognosticators said this is the Yankees division. It's confounding that they have still been able to stay in the race right now, but they're not dominating. With Judge Stanton, you look at DJ LeMahieu, you got Gerrit Cole, who would be there and be your number one. And, you know, and then you pick up Joey Gallo and guys like Anthony Rizzo. They're still struggling at the plate. I don't know what's going on in the Bronx right now, but they could still surprise somebody in a one-game series with a guy like Gerrit Cole. One more thing. So we look at Toronto a little bit right now. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is putting up triple crown-like numbers. Marcus Semien has got 40 home runs as well. He's a well-traveled guy, played with Oakland, played with the White Sox. They're the first team since 2002 to have 40 home run game hitters. And then you look at the likes of Bo Bichette, Springer, Lourdes Gurriel, their staff. You look at Hyun-Jin Ryu, Jose Berríos you pick up and a guy that's going to get a lot of votes in Robbie Ray. It is going to be a crazy 3 or 4 days. I believe the next – I'm going to go with the next 5 days are going to decide who is going to be in that wild card race. And I guarantee you in the AL, it's going to be two teams from the AL East.
Well, you know what? I don't see any separation in the next 5 days. I think we're going to go down to the wire. It's going to be a lot of fun. And this is what's great about, you know, we've talked about it, baseball purists. First one that came out, I hated it in 1998. But you know what? I'm loving it. It keeps the game exciting.
And it's more incentive. It's 100% more incentive, Coach.
Right.
It keeps the fans involved. It keeps the teams involved rather than just like, hey, fold it up. Imagine years ago where it was just two teams and you play in the World Series tomorrow. And if it was in the 50s, it was pretty much a team from New York. So there you go.
So, all right, let's quickly – we got to go to the senior circuit. We got to go to the National League. We told you that San Francisco and the Dodgers are going to be fighting out. One of those two teams will be a definite wild card. All right, then we're looking at maybe Atlanta being a wild card. You got Cincinnati, Philadelphia. You got San Diego hanging around. I think the Mets are done. As much as the Metropolitans are fried. They're losing tonight again. They're getting killed by the Red Sox, the ugly yellow Red Sox shirt. So we're looking at the Giants, the Dodgers, the Cardinals, the Reds, and Philadelphia.
Okay, whether it is either the two best teams in all of baseball are coming out of the NL West,
right?
I'm looking at a scenario as of today. Would you want to face this? Kershaw, Scherzer, Bueller, Urias, Mookie.
Bueller.
He's sick. Yeah, he passed out at the 31 Flavors last night. So I'll tell you this. So, and then you got Bellinger, who's having a rough year, but you look at Max Muncy and Will Smith. And, I mean, you look at this right now. This is a great quote from Dodgers PR. John Weissman said this. Per today's press notes, they have the best winning percentage of a defending championship team since the start of the divisional era, which was 1969. They're a beast. Whoever the second team is going to have to face an absolute juggernaut. And that goes if the Giants were to flip-flop too. So I'm just going to leave that wide open right there. Now, the only team that really scares me, I'm still – very much without even giving my locks, saying the Braves are going to win this division. I don't think Philadelphia has enough firepower. The team that does, the team that really scares me right now, are that team from St. Louis, and I'm going to try not to be partisan about this, but here it is. They're red hot. 10 in a row. Goldschmidt, Tyler O'Neill, John Lester coming over. It breaks my heart. He wins his 200th game with the Cardinals. He is pitching like he did several years ago when he was still with the Cubs. They're a great defensive ball club. Adam Wainwright, local boy, Glynn County, pitching great in the twilight years of his career. That is a hot team in a one-game playoff. I don't know what's going to happen for either if they were to face either San Francisco or the Giants. That, to me, that is going to be just as entertaining as the matchup in the AL. It's unbelievable.
And what's crazy is we could still have two teams tied a certain spot. I mean, we're not going to have a three-team tie. We're going to have a two-team tie, and it could happen in the National League. In the American League, it could be three teams. So it's just crazy. 13 games to go. We're going to see what happens. We'll be talking to you next Wednesday night, and we'll be seeing if, there's any kind of separation. But I don't think so.
Absolute madhouse is what I'm going to tell you.
Right. It's going to make it a lot of fun. So, all right. Inning number two in the books. The wild card is wild this year. So, once again, now we got to go to, of course, you're listening to Who's on First Base, baseball podcast presented by Coach's Corner, all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Don't forget, we got a gazillion TVs. There's a bunch of games going on. We got music out in Soundgarden, and it's always been food fun since when?
1991. Come on out. Tell John you said hi. Tell him you like us. Get some of those delicious San Diego chicken buffalo fingers. Catch a show.
I just want to guarantee if the Braves do make the playoffs, you know the teepee's going up, right?
Oh, we're going to be up there.
You better make sure you show up.
Oh, you kidding me? I'm not missing that. We've been talking about that for 2 weeks. We're doing that.
It might be a good cause. You have to shave your head, too.
I need a haircut really bad. Sport Clips is closed on Saturday. And as they say in hockey, I don't exactly have the best lettuce in the league right now.
No, you don't.
That's why I'm wearing the hat.
God bless Angela. Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go. Inning number three.
Let's do it.
Focus on the Braves. I mean, they're hot. I think they had the best pickups before the trade deadline. And Soler, homers in the second game, batting leadoff. What more do you want?
Georgie boy has really come in. Jorge Soler, a guy that was a highly touted prospect coming out of Cuba, started his career with the Cubs, had a 48 home run season with Kansas City 2 years ago. Struggled a bit, but he's really found his legs, and they've been able to shake up the lineup. I read some great comments by Austin Riley, who just hit his 30th home run of the season. You know, of course, the Braves have a three-game lead right now. Jorge is going to lead off the rest of the way. He was quoted as saying he likes it. It's a good fit right now. And then you look at that 1-4 right now. So you put Jorge up front. Then you put Freddie Freeman batting a clean 320 right now. You got Ozzie and you got Mr. 30 home runs himself, Austin Riley. And he just said, shaking it up. They feel good. They got off that little bit of a schneid, you know, losing four games in a row. They get back to it with that big three-game win to get things started on getaway day in San Francisco. And these are games that they truly need to win this week as they're taking on the Diamondbacks, one of the worst teams in baseball. This could really help them create some separation if Philadelphia can drop a couple here.
I mean, it's definitely unbelievable. And then you got to throw in the feet that Eddie Rosario did the other night. Five pitches he hits for the cycle. That is absurd.
It's absurd. And, I mean, you think about it. He does that in that 3-0 win. Max Fried goes out and throws a dandy. And it's the second cycle of the year for the Braves. Freddie hit one back last month on the 18th. Are you kidding me? And the last one. I've never seen anybody celebrate a single that much.
And how about who are the other two players that had hit for the cycle this year in Major League Baseball?
Oh, man. Okay. I had this earlier this year. All right. Hit me with it. Come on.
All right. Trey Turner.
Yeah. Trey Turner with the Dodgers. And
Cronenworth.
And Jake Cronenworth, number 9 from San Diego. There you go.
Jake, sorry. I said Jack. Jake.
I heard Jake.
All right. So, big concern of mine is the pitching. How are you breaking down the pitching? We still don't have a closer. We still don't have anybody that's going to come in the game and shut this down, lock it down, like Craig Kimball did a couple of years ago. That's what worries me the most about the Braves, the pitching. So what's your interpretation?
Like
starting pitching were great.
Yeah, last week we talked about this a little bit, and I feel like that's just a source of consternation for us.
Constipation?
Constipation.
Yeah, when it comes to pitching, the Braves have constipation because they can't find someone that's going to let it go loose. Oh, sorry, I didn't say that.
Yeah, I would actually think in an opposite way that'd be a good thing to have if you're a bullpen. In an offense, you got a problem here. All right, there's no sponsor for that right now, so here we go. So I'll tell you this. So we talked about it a little bit last week.
Pepto-Bismol
is going to be your closer. Pepto, it's a fine product. And but when you get into the playoffs – you have three guys that can get you deep.
All right. And I'm not worried about the three guys that are going to deep.
No, but what I'm
saying, who's going to be there to close it out?
Will Smith is going to have to close it out. I said it last week. This bullpen is what it is right now. You're going to rely on the big boppers to get the runs in and just hope to all things holy that they can get through the ballgame. I don't know what else to tell you.
It's very scary, my friend. It's very scary. You know, they got to find something in the pitching. They really do. And you know, it's not going to happen now because we're already past the trade deadline. No,
that's what I said. It is. You're looking at what you're looking. So Snit is going to be looking at the matchups at that point. Will Smith has still got the stranglehold on that closer job because he's gone out there and done it.
Right.
Plain and simple. But one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit right now. So Ozzie Albies and Austin Riley continue to stay hot. Our magic number is 10. We got 13 to play. And I'm hoping, based upon the rotation right now, you know, are you going to see a guy like, you know, Max Fried? Are you going to see Charlie Morton maybe going on a little bit of short rest if it means having to play a one-game playoff or being able to clinch the division if it comes down to it against Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, no matter what season, no matter what year, we always find a team that has to go to their big gun on short, you know, a short rest. I mean, you know, he's not going to get 4 or 5 days rest. It's going to be 3 days rest, and you're going to have to come out and throw the ball. So all the teams are doing this now. We just got to hope we have somebody that can do that. Can Freed do it? Can Morton do it? I mean, isn't Anderson throwing tonight?
Yeah, Anderson's going tonight as of right now. It's a 9:40 start here. So, grab a coffee. But I got to correct something a little bit right there. I said a one-game playoff against Philadelphia. I mean, if it comes down to it against a three-game series against Philadelphia, I knew it the minute I said it. I've been talking about one-game playoffs. You saw the earlier segment, so there you go.
But what happens if the Braves and Phillies are tied for that first-place spot?
You play the next day. It happened in 2018. It happened in 2018 in the NL Central with the Cubs and the Brewers. I had to watch that piece of junk. So yes,
I know. You know, it used to be nice to get some extra baseball. You know, free baseball. But we're gonna get a couple of free baseball games. We're gonna get 163 games this year in the season.
Oh, October 1st I still think is gonna be an absolute madhouse. But I really think if the Braves can take advantage right now, okay. Let's look at our remaining schedule while we still have a couple of minutes in this segment here. We got tonight and tomorrow versus Arizona, one of the worst teams in baseball. They have to take care of that. But it gets a little bit difficult. They got 4 games in 3 days against San Diego before they finally get that day off and come home. They got a doubleheader on the 24th and the 25th and then they play on the 25th and 26th with a Monday day off before coming back home to Truist Field to take on those fighting Philadelphia Phillies. Big division implications. My big thing, Coach, they got to find a way to sweep Arizona and hope for Philly to drop a couple here because San Diego is still playing tough. They've had their struggles. We've all seen it. We talked about it earlier in the show. But if they can take care of Arizona, which I have no doubt that they will, they need to find a way to at least get a good split against San Diego because, I mean, that's a lot of baseball. And you don't want to absolutely burn your bullpen off because you only get 1 day off before you get to face Philadelphia. A lot of things are going to change in about 4 days.
Just remember, if tomorrow's pitching, today's catching, we're doing well.
That is correct.
Who's playing first base? I don't know.
Third base, I don't know. Every dollar of it, his wife gets it. I don't know.
So it's going to be interesting. Okay, so we're right on schedule. Okay, you're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, all presented by Coach's Corner. And it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network because it's all food, all fun since
1991.
30 years and still the number one sports establishment in Savannah, Georgia.
And we are going to get back there. We're going to broadcast.
Hopefully, I'm waiting for you, buddy. I'm waiting for you. I'm ready to go get some wings. We got to get some hockey sticks, but, you know, I'm waiting for you, buddy.
Wings, hockey sticks. We do our pizza. We got a routine. It's what we do. John and Dell know it. I mean, we come in there and we do our little show here. We just eat a ton of food after the show, which I love. And I love how we can make food disappear in about 20 minutes after a good broadcast.
Even quicker than that. So, okay, inning number 4, it's trivia time.
And of course, I'm ready for you.
The Fanatic in 19 episodes is 11-6-3. The coach has won the last two. So it's baseball trivia time. And the coach is the visiting team tonight. He's up first. So fire away, Mr. Cubby.
Okay. Adam Duvall hit the longest home run of his career. And that was a 483-foot shot. Who on the Braves has the second farthest homer of this season? A lot of good names to choose from.
How far did Duvall hit it?
483 feet. Rocket.
Now, what do you need? Just the name or you need the distance?
I need the name.
I'm going to go with the guy that has not been playing for a long time. I'm going to go with Acuña Matata, Ronald Acuña Jr.
You are correct, my friend.
Yes. Let me see. Don't tell me. 478?
He hit it 481. A mere 2 feet, according to StatCast.
Wow.
All right, man. I'm getting scared.
Okay. This is probably an easy one. In honor of Mr. Riley hitting his 30th home run this season, Who holds the record for most home runs by a third baseman?
Ooh, by a third baseman. I got to go with Michael Jack Schmidt on that one.
All right, we're tied 1-1.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Second.
This is a good one. I like this question. Okay. Of all the great major league stadiums, we're talking about cycles. What stadium has produced and has seen the most cycles?
All right. Well, explain to the fan what a cycle is.
Okay. A cycle. Keep in mind, that means you have done everything offensively you can do. A single, a double, a triple, and a long ball, a home run, and you do it in one game. You don't see it a lot.
I mean, you got to think about the old places. You got Yankee Stadium, you got Fenway Park, you got your beloved Wrigley Field.
You got to think of short porches. I mean, you got to think of a lot of different dimensions on that.
I mean, there's a lot of good places, and I know the short porch in New York and Yankee Stadium was always a big one. I'm going to go with Yankee Stadium.
That's a very good guess, but it's Colorado. It is Coors Field, and the Yankees aren't even number two. It's Fenway.
Colorado, because of the air out there. But that's not a great stadium to me.
No,
that's not historic.
I didn't say it had to be historic.
I'd rather be in Forbes Field.
So would I. So would Pye Trainer. So would Honus Wagner. Haven't talked to him in a while.
Well, we could go to the Polo Grounds too, you know what I mean? So, all right. Once again, I'm sticking with Braves history here because in honor of Mr. Riley's 30th home run on the season. All right. There have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Riley becomes the sixth Braves third baseman to hit 30 home runs in a season.
Oh, my God.
Name the other five.
Well, Chipper Jones.
Right, that's one.
All right, there you go. Oh, man, this is going to drive me insane. Because I know there's a couple that I am just going to blank on.
I know.
They had to play the majority of their season at third base.
Obviously. Right. Yep.
Okay. Man alive. And before you give me the Jeopardy action here, man, that is going to drive me nuts. Okay.
Clock's ticking.
Yeah, I know. We got Chipper. We got, man alive. Okay. Did Dale Murphy ever? Okay.
No.
Okay, no, I know he did. I was like, okay, there had to be a season where he filled in with a bulk of games.
Come on, you're the baseball fanatic.
Yeah, I know, and you're making me feel worse. Man, I'm just going to throw out some random Brave names. Jeez.
All right, you got 5 seconds.
Got it. You got me. You got me.
Okay.
You got me. I want to hear this.
Play third base for the Braves. War number 41. Eddie Matthews.
I've met him.
So Matthews did it 10 times. Jones did it 5 times. This other big guy that played third base wore those ugly baby blue uniforms. He was a big dude. Hit it
Bob
2
Horner.
Times. Bob Horner. And way back when, he took Matthews' place, I think, at third base, Darrell Evans.
Big Darrell Evans, there you go.
Happened recently. About, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. Journeyman, Josh Donaldson. Tough one there, buddy.
Darrell Evans, and now it's coming back to me. Evans hit it in 73. It was before he had all those great years with the Tigers.
All right, tiebreaker.
You just got me on a mind melt there. Okay.
Tiebreaker.
Can you tell me? Who is the oldest winner of the Cy Young Award? And I'll even give you the age. 42 years old.
The oldest at 42.
Yeah, who is the oldest player to ever win the Cy Young Award?
Oh, come on. Of course, Nolan Ryan comes to mind right away. Nolan Ryan. I mean, I can think about. I don't know if Phil Niekro ever won it. Oldest. Wow. I think another knuckleball pitcher. I think, or his brother was a knuckleball pitcher. Who is he? I don't know. I mean, then of course I'm thinking. Here's what I got. I got Ryan, Niekro, Perry, and I think he was an old guy when he won the last one was Clemens with the Yankees. I'm gonna go with Roger Clemens.
Oh my God. Oh, you got it. 42 years old. You got it. Well done.
He beat out Perry, right? And yes, Perry beat out Ryan.
Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young.
He never won a Cy Young?
Never won a Cy Young.
He pitched till he was 50, it seemed like.
47.
Wow. All right. Well, so I got to give you my tiebreaker. This is probably going to end in a tie. Okay. In honor of third baseman. Okay. All right. Who hit the most home runs by a Brave at third base?
Oh, Eddie Matthews.
You got it.
All right.
Who was second?
Good questions this week.
Who was second?
Oh, Chipper.
Chipper. Matthews hit 493. Chipper hit 468.
Pretty good company to be in.
Here's a trivia one for you that I could have went with. Who did Matthews hit his 500th home run off of? Who did he hit his 500th home run for? What club? I would have never thought this.
Oh, man, to finish his career.
Yeah. He didn't finish it with the Braves. And he's the only Brave to play in Milwaukee, in Boston, Milwaukee, and in Atlanta. He's the only – everybody thinks Hank Aaron.
He's the only one.
He's the only one.
Yeah, because Mr. Hank got signed in – they were in Milwaukee by then. Oh, man, who do you – I'm going to go with Ferguson Jenkins.
Okay. I just thought, what was the question again?
Oh, geez. Okay. Who did he hit it off?
Not who he hit it off. What team did he play for?
I think Philadelphia Phillies.
Houston.
Oh, Houston. Man, never would have thought about that one.
It's got to be in the early 60s. He also played for the Tigers, too. So
totally forgot about that.
All right, buddy. Once again, we got to keep to the time script. We want to keep it to a 40-minute game. We're right on track.
Good job.
All right. We got to go out into the sound garden.
What do we got?
Coach's Corner. Remember, it's also gazillion TVs. It's the center of the sports universe, but it's also the center of the band universe here in Savannah, Georgia. Friday night, a little Boston flavor. The lead singer – he came in 2007. You know this because you're a big Boston fanatic. Tommy DeCarlo's bringing in the band DeCarlo, Savannah, Georgia.
Right in the sound garden, good tunes. Go out there and check him out.
And leading up, what do we call that? The lead band? What do we call that? The warm-up band?
Yeah, the intro band. The warm-up band.
Okay, will be Tommy Claxton with his new band. It's not Tommy Claxton the Myth anymore. I don't know what the name is, but Tommy Claxton has a new band he'll be leading off for Tommy DeCarlo Friday night. All right. Yeah. Saturday, we got the Austin Neal Band in the garden. So we got a great lineup. Go to Coach Scorner's website, go to events. You can either go watch football or baseball, more baseball and baseball. And just think, basketball and hockey are kicking off pretty soon, too. So whatever sport you want, it's always at Coach's Corner.
Got it. They've got it.
Well, great show again. We end up at a tie. So after 20 episodes, it's 11 wins for the Fanatic, 6 for the coach. I'm only 5 games back. And, of course, we got 4 ties. Okay. But you know what? I'll take a tie anytime it comes to trivia against this guy.
Hey, it happens, coach. This was a great show. Man, the next few days are going to be some nail biters in this crazy wild card divisional race. And I cannot wait to break it all down next week. Let's do it.
Well, you got to get rid of the puppies, stop dog sitting, and we'll go live from Coach's Corner next Wednesday night. But that's up to you, buddy.
I'm in. I've already told you I'm in. Let's go. Right. We already talked about the food, so let's check it out next week.
Whatever you're doing tonight, whatever you're doing tomorrow, whatever you're doing Friday, what do you want to do?
Always hit it out of the park. Are you kidding
me? Until we see you or speak to you next Wednesday night, what should it be?
The best week ever.
God bless. Be safe. We got a bunch of sports going on. It's the best time of the year. For me, it's even better than Christmas. So I can watch any sport I want all night long. But once again, it's been a lot of fun. Hey, Fanatic, have a good one. Always a lot of fun. And, hey, we'll see what happens. Who separates from who in the next week?
I can't wait. And I can't wait to talk about it next week. Coach, you have a great night.
See ya.
See ya.